is negative as can be. And she's weak emotionally. But she kissed me and she put it there. She's got a chip on her shoulder blade. And her attitude makes me afraid. But she kissed me.
It's the More Than Football podcast with Jessica Danielle. And as usual, I'm really excited to get you guys another episode. And this episode in particular was a lot of fun because it was a long time coming. I've been wanting to interview offensive lineman Evan Mathis, who plays for my beloved Eagles, for a long time because he's just so funny. Actually, this whole team is kind of fun. So I can't just say it's, you know, it's just Evan, but Evan is definitely one of the funniest. In fact, he's one of the funniest guys that I follow on Twitter, you know, out of everybody. And I had a little theory about why offensive linemen like him are so much fun on social media. As you know, I interviewed Sean Andrews before and he is just hilarious. But Evan has his own theory of why that might be. So I'm not going to hold this up any longer. Let's get into it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
You crack me up on Twitter, I have to say.
Yeah, I put a little too much time into Twitter sometimes.
Well, you're like Wes Welker, who says he's like a tweeter masquerading as a football player.
Yeah, that's really kind of true for me, too.
I was saying the other day, like, I have a totally scientific theory that offensive linemen have the best personalities on social media. Like you, Sean Andrews, who's been on the podcast, like, all just, like, funny and...
Yeah, I think I can add a little to your scientific theory. I think we hit our heads more than anybody, so we hit our heads so much it makes us a little loopy and makes us see the world in a slightly different way over time. So we kind of lose our perceptual filter and then just start acting weird in the end.
Oh, so that means I need to follow more of you then.
Yeah, you should just follow all the offensive linemen and watch our steady decline or incline into weirdness.
Now, wait, now, see, you joke about that, but I always wonder, like, how much are guys thinking about that kind of thing nowadays? A lot? A little bit?
I mean, the evidence shows that it's there. It's not scientifically factual or proven to the extent that it scares me to death, but the research that shows the buildup of tau protein over time, which is a precursor to causing things like Alzheimer's, I mean, that happens with each self-concussive hit, you know, and in the trenches, the offensive line, D-line, we're the ones that have those impacts on pretty much every single play. So, I mean, I do think about it, but ever since I was a kid, I wanted to play football. And I wanted to play in the NFL. That's all I wanted to do. And if I'm able to do that at this point in time, and it knocks a couple of decades off the end, I'm not so worried about it.
Right, so it's like the passion for the game, I'm amazed by how much you guys are willing to put into it, not even years, but just like play after play. It's kind of amazing to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a dream for most of us just to do this. So, and a lot of us, it's all we know. Football is all we know, so we just pour everything into it. It's been our lives since we were little kids.
Yeah.
We eat it, sleep it, breathe it, think it all day long.
Well, I appreciate you so much. I'm an Eagles fan, so, you know, we kind of love you. And so as you were meeting with the Baltimore Ravens, Evan, I was like, okay, well, you know, I hate to lose Evan. I totally understand why other people are interested in him, but I will admit to this. I did start Googling how to put someone's car on blocks because I live in DC. So if you were going to come here, I needed to exact some sort of revenge since you were leaving my team. How close were we to losing you?
Well, first of all, I live in Arizona in the off season, so I took a flight to Baltimore. So you would have to take my plane, put my plane on blocks if you were going to stop me. But I wasn't that close. I wasn't taking a visit to sign. I wasn't. There's no way I was going to take a visit somewhere and just sign right away. I knew that I created value for myself, and I knew that if there was any leverage, it was me. After Grubbs and Knicks already signed their contracts, I knew that I had leverage and I had plenty of time. So I went out there, and I was thoroughly impressed with their organization. They're obviously a great organization from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Their GM, Ozzie Newsome, he's an Alabama guy, and he tried to play the Alabama card on me, which, you know, he sold the team very well.
Yeah.
He's good, really good. He's one of the best in the business. But
I wasn't
going out there.
I wasn't. Oh, go ahead.
Do what?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying I wasn't going out there, like I said, to sign. I was going out there to get a feel for the team, get a feel for the coaches and the organization. And Howie Roseman had already told me right when free agency started that they were interested, but they were just going to wait to see what the market was, which really was the best thing for me, and it was the best thing for the Eagles. It was the smartest play for both of us. So we were on the same page going into it. And then when the Ravens came into it, Howie let me know that their offer was something they could easily beat. The Ravens really had some cap problems,
right?
Where they couldn't put that much money into the offensive line to replace Grubbs. So when it came down to it, the Eagles, beat the Ravens' offer, and then the offer got a little better. And my heart was always in Philly. I know what I have there. I know how the team is. I know how the coaches are, the organization, and especially the fans. I know what's there. So it was really best case scenario that I ended up signing back.
Well, you mentioned being from Alabama, so I want to ask you about that. Are you like a good old Southern boy? Like, do you like outdoor stuff, the camping, the hunting, fishing, that kind of thing?
No, I'm quite the conundrum coming out of Alabama. I'm from Birmingham, which is, I guess that's the biggest city we have in Alabama. I never was big into the country life. I was never big into hunting, fishing, though I got exposure and experience in all of it. It was never something that caught on with me. I'm just kind of a computer geek, if you were to compare the two, when it comes down to it. If someone asks me if I want to go fishing one afternoon, I'd rather sit on the couch and play on the computer or tweet or watch TV.
So wait, you heard that Facebook bought Instagram today?
I did hear that, yes. I knew that. Uh-huh.
Any thoughts on that?
I think it was a good move on Facebook's part. Instagram obviously did a very good job in turning that around so quickly. But people were starting to update their statuses on Instagram more so than Facebook a little bit. And it was smart for Facebook to come in and just take out the competitor by buying them, which it was a really good move. I think if Instagram held out, they could have got more money.
Yeah.
But
I mean, can you imagine? I think they said they had like maybe 9 employees, maybe less, and then a billion.
Yeah, that's what makes it all the more reason just to go ahead and get it done.
Right. Oh, my
God. Just
gosh.
A quick startup, a quick turnaround. Boom, see you later. It was
a
great job. They're on to the next one if they want to be, or they can just sit back and live on their earnings, which, I mean, more power to them.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Are you a Facebooker and an Instagrammer?
No, I've never got into Instagram. Facebook has gotten more and more weird and boring over the years to me.
Right.
Twitter is, I'm such a quick-hitting ADD-type person that Twitter is just, it fits my personality. I can give you a random thought in just a few characters and then be done with it.
Yeah, you can also play people pretty well on Twitter too, Evan. Like your retweet of Evelyn Lozada when she was asking about First 48 and she needed a recap, and you're like, someone died and they tried to figure out who did.
Yeah, everybody's fair game, especially the big time celebrities on Twitter. Everybody's fair game to have fun with. I'll parody anybody. All in good fun. But I try to keep it comedian when I can.
So do you do stand up or anything? Are you just sort of like a just
no,
a funny
just sit down. Computer? Just sit down in front of the computer and make jokes. I'm not comfortable enough to stand up in front of a bunch of people yet. I'm kinda just a big awkward ogre. I'd rather do it when I can think about it and not get a bunch like that. See, mumbling right there, I would do a bunch of that if I was in front of a bunch of people.
You got nervous just thinking about it.
Yeah, exactly. See, that's how it is. So maybe one day, maybe if I had time to practice it, I could get in there, or maybe start with some kind of sketch comedy, like some Saturday Night Live or something like that.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I could turn the show around and have it like it was in the '80s.
It's so bad now. It's, I mean,
It
like
is,
a
it
few
is.
flashes that I've seen were, you know, pretty good, like flashes of brilliance, like you can see what they were going for, but it's pretty damn bad.
Yeah, I would think that it would evolve over time, but yeah, that they deliver every now and then, but not as often as they should for something as big as that. One show I'm actually watching now is on VH1. It's called Stevie TV. It's a girl that started on YouTube, just being funny and making fun of people like Kim Kardashian and Paris Hilton, because she just dresses up like all up and acts stupid. It's it's just some quick hitting sketches just like that, and it's pretty funny.
I haven't seen that one. I have to check that out. I've seen the show Key and Peele a little bit, and that's hit or miss. Have you heard of that one?
Yeah.
It's like the two
no,
black
which
guys.
What's it called?
Key and Peele.
No, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it's like two black guys who, I don't know, I guess they're a comedy duo, I don't know, but they're pretty, but I kind of miss those days of like Mad TV and that kind of
yeah,
shit.
Mad TV, I love Mad TV.
Like Mrs. Swan.
Yeah, Mrs. Swan and Stewart.
That was really funny. A lot of Eagles have changed their names. I see Demetrius Bell changed his name, and Jacqua Parker had changed his, and Tra Thomas changed his back in the day. Are we going to see any changes from Evan Mathis?
Haven't really thought about it.
Do you have a nickname, anything?
Let me hit myself in the head a few more times, and I'll probably want to change my name. Give me like a year or two more of some offensive line hits, and then I'll probably be ready to change.
You'll be ready to change. So who's your best friend on the team?
I wouldn't say I really have a best friend. The O-line is always a pretty tight-knit group because we're around each other so much. We get to know each other real well. I get along with everybody on the team. This past season, I got there kind of late. I didn't get there till I signed on July 31st, and then didn't get to practice till a few days later into camp.
Right.
So this year it'll be way different. I get to hang out with people more in the off season, get to know everybody a little better. Because last year, you know, we hit the ground running, and it was all business, just trying to take care of it, you know, to take care of things on the field.
Well, I'm excited about you guys getting the respect that you deserve this coming year, because people still think you guys are bad.
Yeah, they can think that. I'd rather have that people have that approach than tagging us the dream team and shit like that. I'd rather just let us come in under the radar, let us take care of business, and you know, not worry about that.
You guys can't avoid attention, though. It's like the New York Jets, they do everything to get attention, and the Eagles do everything not to, and you still end up, I don't know. We're just like,
well, yeah. I mean, Philly. It's one of the biggest markets.
Yeah.
Media wise, fan base wise. So, it's really something that just comes with the territory. And once you're here for a little bit, you start to understand that.
Yeah.
And we just block it out and just keep rolling.
You have access to the one person in the world that I really want to kiss on the cheek. Howard
Me?
Mudd.
Me myself.
Who?
Oh, Howard.
Yes. He's so cute. I love.
Yes,
Howard
Mudd.
Howard
Mudd is awesome. He lets you kiss him on the cheek.
I could
probably arrange that for you.
You have to.
Yeah, I will.
I'm planning to come up. I'm planning to come up for camp, and I'll be doing some interviews like in person and stuff like that with players. But you have to arrange for me to, and I have to get a picture.
Yeah, as soon as you're done cussing us out on the field, we'll try to arrange a kiss afterwards.
That's right. I would love that. Well, thank you, Evan.
Yeah,
this
anytime.
Was fun.
Pleasure talking to you.